good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Tuesday. It's the 16th day of September, and we got Tim O'Dell in with us this morning. Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Good morning, Brian. I'm doing okay. How about you?
Well, I'm going to say I'm doing okay, too.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, at least we're above ground anyway, so.
That may not be the best thing in the world.
That's true.
If I'm on the other side, I'm with Jesus. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
That's very true.
So
very true.
That's really the preferable of the two positions.
Yeah.
Although my flesh goes, hold on.
Hold on.
Whoa. Like those two mules running down 68 this morning with the police chasing them.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. 3 miles an hour for about 6 miles.
Oh, my goodness.
They were lost. And they finally turned around and went back on the other lane with the police still following them.
Oh, my goodness. How many of them did you say?
Two.
Two. So if you was riding around and seen two mules running loose,
yeah,
you better be careful. Hopefully they got them by now, you think?
I hope they do. If not, those mules acted like they'd just run a circuit around that 2 or 3 mile stretch of road.
Yeah.
And the police would just apparently just follow them the whole time, keep somebody from running over them.
Well, that's a good thing. At least somebody's there watching them. So.
Yeah, but it creates havoc with traffic.
Well, sure.
Whoever owned those things need to get out there and get them, put them back where they belong.
Yeah, put them back.
But if you live in the country and livestock is there, there's always the chance the livestock will
always be
out in the road.
Always. I can remember back, this has probably been, I don't know how many years ago, but anyway, we was recording a project with my gospel group, and it was in Tennessee. I can't think of the name of the town, but anyway, it was Tennessee. But I remember it was very, very, when we was going to this studio, it was a bunch of high, steep, going up. And all of a sudden, we come around this corner, and here stood a cow in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
You know. I was like, out of the middle of nowhere. Of course, I mean, you expect a cow or something like that, but right in the middle of the road, going up a hill, you know, and here stands a cow. And you're like, okay, we had to wait for the cow to cross over, you know, get to the other side. So.
And they're in no hurry.
Oh, no. Oh, no. No, no hurry at all. Just just took its time and just moseyed on over, you know. So, but anyway. Well, today I think we kind of mentioned. I think we're gonna talk a little bit about Charlie Kirk. You know what happened
and the reactions to his assassination.
Yes, yes.
The assassinations are as varied as the opinions of humanity.
Sure, sure.
And some of those responses are horrid,
mm-hmm.
very disturbing.
Yes.
Some of them celebrating his death.
Yes.
Calling him all kinds of names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that shouldn't surprise us.
Mm-mm.
The way we think determines how we respond to things.
That's right.
And right. Our thinking is based on something called presuppositions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My presupposition is God's word is the final authority on everything.
Absolutely.
If I want to know the truth, I go to the Word of God. That's how I measure everything
mm-hmm.
around me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am probably in a minority.
Yeah.
Most of the world measures things according to public opinion at a given point in time.
Mm-hmm.
The things they're drawn to, the politicians they like,
mm-hmm. yeah.
The influences of our culture at large, mm-hmm. and there are a lot of very diverse influences
mm-hmm.
on both sides of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest son says, I'm just disgusted with everybody on both sides.
Well,
it is horrible that we can't respond civilly, but we've talked about that before.
Sure.
The
sure.
absence of civility in our society has to do with our worldview and our loss of confidence in our fellow man to step up and do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know, you know, that when all this took place, of course, I really, be honest with you, I never really took the time. I had watched some of his videos on, like, Facebook or something, but not really just sit there and watch a whole video. I'd heard of him, but didn't really know that much about him until now.
Right.
I mean, you know, and of course, everything is all over social media. You're seeing everything. He had a lot of support. Of course, he had a lot of people that was haters as well, but he had a lot of support from a lot of people, you know, and a lot of, what do you call it, I guess, like actors and just different ones that really liked him. I mean, you know, so.
Well, I had listened quite a bit to Charlie and to his podcast,
mm-hmm.
And especially watched the podcast of his interaction with college students on campuses.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There were those that said he targeted people. I never saw that. I mm-hmm. saw him open to debate anybody.
Yes.
And I never saw him people cruelly. Now, mm-hmm. he told, again, from my perspective, biblical truth.
Yeah.
But he didn't do that in a hateful fashion.
Sure, sure.
But sure. If I'm on the other side of the aisle, not mm-hmm. politically, mm-hmm. but spiritually,
mm-hmm.
and somebody points to me the truth of Scripture, I'm not likely to take that real well.
It's true. Very true.
You want to find out if that's true, just go out and do a public. We used to preach on the streets in a lot of places, but mm-hmm. Do that publicly and identify people as sinners on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Watch yeah. the reaction.
Watch the reaction. That's right. That's
it
right.
It won't be pleasant.
That's right. I'm your morning host, Brian Sidebottom, wanting to share with you about our upcoming Fall Carathon, What an Awesome God, October 7th through the 9th, on your 100% listener-funded community Christian station, Missionary Radio, and in partnership with TWR. As we all know, the world needs King Jesus more than ever. So let's spread the word so we can keep sharing His word. Here's how you can help, family. Go to missionary.radio. You can also mail it to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky 42241, or call 877-885-9655. With your help, we can continue doing His work. So mark your calendars, October 7th through the 9th, What an Awesome God Carathon. Psalm 47 verse 2 says, "For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great King over all the earth."
Sharing the gospel worldwide with TWR, Missionary Radio.
Once again, good morning to you. And of course, this is the Front Porch on Missionary Radio, your community station. And Tim O'Dell's in with us this morning. And we're talking about, of course, the tragic death of Charlie Kirk. Like I said, you know, myself, I never took the time to really watch any of his videos until recently, just to really sit down and watch some of the videos and his views on things. And for a young man, I'd have to say he was very straightforward on his belief.
Well, and he would go back and say that the Bible was his authority.
Yes.
Which I have to agree with wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
But if you hold the Bible as your authority, and you hold open debates and invite anyone to the microphone,
mm-hmm.
you have to understand that it's not always going to be a pleasant exchange. It may ruffle a few feathers.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's true in any public debate about
mm-hmm.
anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think one of them I had noticed, one of them I was watching the other day, I don't know if it was a man or a woman dressed up in this uniform, looked like the devil kind of thing, you know, and of course he was rebuking it, you know, and it finally walked away, you know, and I was, you know, I was glad to see that, you know, because we need to shun the devil, tell him to get away, you know, and stuff like that. So I thought that was interesting, and I never had, you know, noticed that one before, so I just watched the clip of it, you know. But the devil is definitely at work.
He is, but he doesn't run around in a red suit with
no.
horns and a pitchfork.
No.
No. He appears no. as an angel of light.
Yes.
Or messenger of light.
Yes, yes.
And his master instrument is deception.
Yes.
He's a deceiver.
Yes.
That's why a scriptural understanding of what truth is so critical.
Well, you know, Tim, it's like I told somebody one time, I said, you know, you're very correct. You know, he don't run around. He's not red with horns and a pitchfork. But he's that most beautiful thing that you can look upon that'll cause you to sin.
Yeah, whatever it might be.
Whatever it might be. It might be a beautiful woman. It might be a handsome man. It might be
a sports car.
Alcohol or sport, like you said, sports car. Maybe it's a home.
Yeah. Could be a movie star.
Movie star.
Could be a thousand different things.
Anything.
Here's we were talking earlier about the importance of Scripture. And Vody Balcom, you know who he is?
That name sounds familiar.
He is now the president of the Founders Seminary. I think he's president. In Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
He was a missionary before. He lived in Africa for a number of years.
Okay.
He grew up in East L.A.
Okay.
And played football in Texas and had some Bible-thumping friends that kept beating him over the head with the Scripture until he got saved.
Okay.
Anyway, here's his definition of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
A reliable collection of historic documents written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses,
mm-hmm.
reporting to us supernatural events that fulfill hundreds of prophecies in exacting detail, claims to be of divine origin.
Amen.
That's the best definition
yeah.
of the Bible I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
First time I heard him say that, I was thinking, I need him to repeat that so I can write it down. We need to understand that either the Bible is true, as yes. it claims to be,
yes,
or it's not.
Yes.
If it isn't, throw the book out, give up on religion, because mm-hmm. you have no hope.
I have no hope, that's right.
If it is true, you need to pay attention to it. And you can't take it out of context.
Mm-mm.
A contextual understanding of Scripture is the only way to figure out what truth is.
And I think, Tim, that we as Christians, we most time know what truth is because of the Holy Spirit.
If we're listening.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean,
and he'll always speak in agreement with the Scriptures.
That's it. I mean, you know, anything that takes place, you know, the Holy Spirit, for me anyway, leads me and guides me along the way. And I've mentioned this, you know, time and time again. Now, there's been times I've strayed away and didn't do what the Holy Spirit told me to do.
Your humanity showed, did it?
That's it. And I got whooped.
Yeah. All of us have humanity.
I got whooped, you know. But as long as I'm following his footsteps and doing what he wants me to do, everything just... times are hard. I've been through some difficult times the last few months, but I still give him praise. Now, a lot of people say, well, I don't believe there's a God because he's done this to me, he's done that to me. And I'm like, I told somebody the other day, I said, have you ever thought about what he did for you?
Yeah. Well, more often than not, he doesn't do things to us.
That's it.
He allows us to reap what we sow.
Reap what we sow.
And I am living proof of sowing the wrong things will produce bad outcomes.
Yeah.
There are always consequences with every decision we make.
Mm-hmm.
Some are more subtle than others.
Yes.
Some are in your face.
Yes.
It goes back to how the law works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. God gave us the law for a specific reason.
Yes.
We can read about it in Romans 13.
Mm-hmm.
Every rule, every law originates in God. Mm-hmm. All authority
mm-hmm.
begins with God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so that he can keep a calm society, keep us to have some sense.
Yeah.
We are, because we're pushing God out of the way, we've mm-hmm. turned to a lawless society because we're not listening to the common sense arguments.
Yeah.
If I go out and promote shooting people like Charlie Clark or shooting people who are contrary to him,
mm-hmm.
I'm being an idiot. I'm inviting disaster to my neighborhoods.
That's it. Do you think if they would not have caught the young man, that their possibility could have been more over time?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking too.
But he's not alone.
Yeah, he's not alone. There's others.
There are others, and if we as a nation don't decide that we're through with using violence to solve issues,
yeah.
One of Charlie's strongest points was you have to have civil dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
You have to talk.
Sure.
And you have to talk to everybody, and you can't mm-hmm. shut people down just because they don't agree with you.
Sure, sure.
Well, that's absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to shut somebody up bad enough to shoot them,
yeah.
then that's not dialogue, and you can't mm-hmm. work through any problems without that conversation.
Very true, very true.
So.
Yeah, very true. Well, Tim, we're going to break away right now and get into our pen from the heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, thank you for your continued commitment and hard work. From a Cedar Hill listener, "We listen all the time. God bless you." From Hopkinsville, "My radio is on 89.3 always. Praise God for your faithfulness. Every day, messages that come on speak to me for the entire day. Only God knows what I need each day. God bless each of you. I love hearing your voices." Also from Clarksville, "Thank you for being faithful."
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Tim O'Dell, I tell you what, this month is moving right along pretty quickly.
Yeah, it is. The whole year is moving quickly.
I tell you what, this year is just like, it's just like zoom, 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 just gone. But that's where I tell people all the time. I said, I always heard the old timers say, the older you get,
the faster it goes.
Faster it goes. I said, well, I believe it. I said, because it seems like this year is just.
Well, if it seems to you like it's that. Add the years between you and me.
I know.
And I feel like we're on jet fuel.
On jet fuel, like, yeah, it's something. But anyway, we're talking about, with the tragic stuff that's happened over the past few days of Charlie Kirk. And, what a guy, like I said, sharing Jesus with so many young people. And I've also noticed – also, in the past few days, there's been an increase of young people, of course, getting to church.
Yes,
and that's awesome.
Well, he encouraged them to go to church. He would say, if you have problems in your life, get in a church.
Yes,
and he didn't give them a brand. Get in church.
In church, yeah.
And he would always point to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the answer for what ails us, and the cause for what mm-hmm. ails us is called sin.
Mm-hmm.
And the world's eat up with it, if you let
oh,
me
goodness
get,
gracious.
Get by with that country phrase.
Sure, sure, it is.
Everywhere you look, sin is running rampant.
Yes, it is.
And people don't want to talk about it.
No. Don't talk about my sin, Tim.
Yeah, yeah. We don't want to acknowledge the sin in our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
This is an evangelistic statement that I cannot avoid. There is no evangelism without pointing out the law.
That's right. So true.
For the wages of sin is what?
Death.
If I'm a sinner, then Scripture says I got to die. The soul that sins, it shall die.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then the scripture says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not mm-hmm. some, mm-hmm. all.
All, yeah.
Apart from God's grace,
mm-hmm.
every human being ever born is on his way to a devil's hell.
That's right.
Without exception.
That's right.
So that's the beginning point of evangelism. You've mm-hmm. got to first, one of my old preacher advisors years ago says, son, if you're going to lead people to Christ and get them saved, you got to let them know they's lost in the first place.
There you go.
If they don't recognize they're lost,
that's right.
They won't recognize their need for a Savior.
That's right. That's right. Because, you know, anybody can come into a building and play church.
Anybody can do that.
Anybody.
And anybody can put on new behaviors.
New behaviors.
Like going and putting on a clean shirt.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't make you clean.
Mm-hmm.
It means the shirt's clean.
I remember back, been a few years ago, we had bought something from somebody, and the thing that we bought was not in the best shape after it was bought. We brought it home, and I wasn't happy with it, so I took it back, and the person, you know, kind of was upset and said some slang words to me, you know, and everything. And
slang words.
Yeah, I'm gonna say slang words.
Yeah,
I know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
And
I just never heard it called slang.
And I was thinking to myself, I said, here I was trying to bite my tongue and not be mean back, you know. I just looked at the person. I said, and you're supposed to be a Christian.
That's
all I said to him. I said, you're supposed to be a Christian.
Did that go over well?
Nothing else was said. Stopped it. It stopped it. You know, if you're claiming to live a life for God, I believe he cleans everything up, Tim.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think he cleans just a certain part of you up. He cleans all of you up. I used to have a bad mouth myself when I was younger. I mean, I hear people now that they say, well, I just don't know I'm doing it.
That's nonsense.
I'm like, come on, you know you're doing it. You know, when you say a slang word, you know that you're doing it, you know. And, but yeah, I really believe, I'm a firm believer, when Jesus gets into your life, you clean everything up. And somebody said, well, now, what about if you stump your toe or you say that little slang, you know, that one word, you know, and I'm like, yeah, well, I've changed all that too. I said, hey, the other day, I said, I was in my shop and I said, you know, I said, I done something totally stupid. I said, I missed my chair. And I said, you know what? I fell on the floor, and I said, well, Lord, I said, that was smart, wasn't it? I didn't say any cuss words. I didn't get mad. I didn't get upset. I said, Lord, that was smart.
Well, you know, the reality is our transition to become a new creature.
That's it.
Is not instant grits.
Yes, that's it.
But the Spirit dwells within and begins to transform our hearts.
Yes.
And then our hearts transform our mouth. We're out of the, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
The words of our mouth reveal the nature of our heart.
Mm-hmm.
So if I've still got word problems, it's a good indication I still got heart problems.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember who it was recently, back to Charlie Kirk for a minute.
Sure.
Talking about. Oh, it was Ken Ham.
Uh-huh.
Posted a video about Charlie because he
mm-hmm.
knew him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, the problem is not political violence. The problem is not this or that. It's a heart problem.
Sure it is.
Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful and wicked mm-hmm. above all else. Who can understand it? Desperately sick, one translation says.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In my own experience, before I got saved, I have to acknowledge my heart was very, very, very deceitful and very, very wicked.
Sure, sure.
And the truth of the matter is I didn't really want to change it. Mm-hmm. I knew how to mask it.
Sure.
So I could fit in with a particular crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, human beings are incredibly adaptable.
Oh, yes.
I can go into a different group and adopt their behaviors, at least while I'm in that group.
Sure.
So I'll be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That works both ways.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of the matter is, if my heart's truly changed, there's some groups I just don't want to be around anymore.
Sure.
I'm not interested in what they're interested in.
Sure, sure.
Now, that's another thing that Charlie used to talk about. If you have a relationship with Christ and it's real,
mm-hmm.
there's some of the things that go on campus that you just don't want to be a part of anymore.
That's true. Very true.
And that's so true.
Oh, it is. You know, we have a young man in our church, and he started Western this year. And he told me the other day, he said, if you just, some of the things I've already viewed already, he said, I'm thinking to myself, he said, oh, my goodness. You know, just the things he said, you see.
Yeah.
You know, he said, it's bad. I said, yeah, I said, I know. I said, I know. I said, you see it. And I said, when you get into that kind of stuff, I said, you'll see a lot of it. I said, just be careful. Keep your guard up.
I can go back to my law enforcement days, and I can tell you I worked undercover for a long time.
Yeah.
I can tell you that I saw things that I cannot discuss publicly.
Sure.
Because they're so offensive.
Oh, gosh. I can imagine.
And it's just incredible how widespread those behaviors were.
Mm-hmm.
Then you add the drugs and alcohol to it, and it gets worse.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I can just imagine.
So then you get into the spiritual implications.
Sure.
And there's no end to it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I can't go into those things because it embarrasses me now to talk about it.
Sure, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Tim, let's break away real quick and get into Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope.
I like Johnny.
This is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope. And that's exactly what Johnny's going to do today, because Johnny, I have got a stack of questions here for you from our faithful listeners, and I just know your answers will be filled with hope. Let's get to this first one. It's from Richard, and he asks, Johnny, how has God used your disability to have others know Jesus?
Oh, Richard, what a great question. Because I know the way I handle my disability, I know it helps doubters and non-believers and skeptics. It helps them see God, that He has to be helping me. I mean, they see that I cannot use my hands or legs, that I'm in pain, that I've got struggles, and yet they see me persevere with a smile. And to them, that smile is proof of a power greater than my own. To be joyful in suffering is totally unnatural, and it's just got to point to a supernatural reality. The Apostle Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. He says that, quote, we have this treasure, that is the treasure of knowing Christ, in jars of clay, that is bodies that break easily. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Right there is proof of God's power, right? Oh, I love that verse because Paul teaches us here that human weakness in great trials, when matched with perseverance, reveals God's power. And Richard, that's how God uses my quadriplegia to help others take seriously the claims of Christ. That was a good question, Richard.
That was a great question. And I've got another one for you, Johnny. This one's from Kayla. She asks, how did your accident affect your parents and your siblings?
You know, Kayla, if you were to ask my family today, all three of my sisters would say that it disrupted everything at first. Everyone's schedules, vacation plans, because now things were just too expensive. I mean, my accident turned everyone's plans upside down, all because my family was needed. I needed them. My parents and my sisters all had to make huge sacrifices. And so my accident impacted everyone. And yet, today, my family would emphatically tell you how grateful they are because God spiritually woke them up. Today, they are all thankful for my accident because it changed them. God rescued them and saved them. Yep, the whole family made sacrifices, but it was worth it.
I love that answer, Johnny, and I've got time for one more here. Our last one is from Beth, and she asks, Johnny, I'd love to hear you reiterate what taking up your cross daily means to you.
I'm sure you're wanting my reflections on Luke 9, verse 23, where Jesus said, quote, If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Beth, the challenge Jesus gives here calls for a life of complete self-denial and unwavering resolve to follow Jesus, even when it leads to hardship and deep suffering. And this is how we do it. Every day we pick up our cross in order to die to the sins, like, you know, bitterness and complaining, the sins that Christ died for on his cross. It was our sin, our bitterness, our complaining that nailed him to his cross. And we're called to nail our sins to our cross. Hardship and suffering will reveal, it'll expose, the worst of stuff inside of us. Bitterness, resentment, selfishness, envy, pride. And so our suffering, that is the cross we bear, is our best chance to identify those sins and thereby put them to death, saying yes to Jesus and no to self.
Thanks so much for the hope you shared today with Beth, with Kayla, with Richard, and for all our listeners.
My pleasure.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Philippians 2:2, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Charles Osgood told the story of two ladies who lived in a convalescent center. Each had suffered an incapacitating stroke. Margaret's stroke left her left side restricted, while Ruth's stroke damaged her right side. Both of these ladies were accomplished pianists, but had given up hope of ever playing again. The director of the center set them down at a piano and encouraged them to play solo pieces together. They did, and a beautiful friendship developed. What a picture the churches need to work together in unity. This is a good reminder, too, for our country to work together in unity. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
Every time I turn it on, it really inspires me to keep moving forward, knowing that God loves me.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
I'm Tammy Cummins, office manager and afternoon host on Missionary Radio. In these dark times, we need to make a difference for the kingdom of God by our prayers and finances, where they will make a big impact. It's expensive to run radio stations, but I believe it's money well spent to get the message of Jesus Christ out to many who still need him. Missionary Radio, your community Christian station, is 100% listener funded. Our What an Awesome God Carathon is October 7th through 9th, and we need your help. We had a serious shortfall this summer, at times 75% below budget. If you're new to Missionary Radio, please join in supporting our mission to reach people for Christ. Or if you are a current partner, please renew. You may give online at missionary.radio, call 877-885-9655, or mail to Missionary Radio, Post Office Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And talking about this, we've kind of been a few other places, but we've talked about Charlie Kirk this morning. That's the main talking point.
We've talked about how we respond to such tragic situations.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about that response depends on what my fundamental presuppositions are, my foundational thinking points.
Mm-hmm.
If my foundation is the Word of God, then I'm going to look at this as a tragedy, regardless of who's killed,
mm-hmm.
whether it was Charlie or the children that were shot in a Denver school.
Yeah.
Or the two politicians in Minnesota that were shot in their home.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really matter. The loss of human life is always tragic.
That's it. You think about the young lady that got stabbed?
The young lady that got stabbed.
You know.
And the guy said, I didn't even know the woman.
Yeah. Now, that's just evil.
Well.
I mean, you know, it's
he had a telephone conversation with his sister.
Uh-huh.
And you don't talk on the telephone in jail if you don't want it to be recorded, because they record all of them.
Uh-huh.
And he says, the material in me controlled me. And then he says later that the government put some material in him so that they can control him.
Mm.
He's completely nuts.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he has a violent history and has been on the street over and over and over again. It's a matter of letting people out who don't be out. But this goes back to the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
When we decided that we weren't going to operate mental institutions anymore. We were going to scale them back and put people on the street.
Yeah.
And trust them to take their meds.
Mm-hmm.
in my experience in law enforcement, that doesn't work. In my experience in prisons, a large percentage of the inmate population would otherwise have been in mental institutions.
Sure, sure.
Now, again, I'm not throwing rocks. Mental illness is a real thing. It's a terrible thing.
Absolutely.
And that doesn't mean that that person still isn't responsible for what they do.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So my thinking determines how I respond. If my thinking is biblical, I'm going to see it as a tragedy, and I'm going to have compassion, not necessarily leniency, even for the perpetrator.
Yeah, yeah.
This young man who committed this murder,
yes,
okay, is obviously not right.
Sure.
More information is coming out every day. The things he'd posted on his social media sites, the hate speech that he used every day, and his hateful explanation, even some of his family describing how hate-filled his conversations were about Charlie and others like him. And then you have other people say, well, he should have died and his whole family ought to die too. You know, so that's, again, there is a thinking problem that's associated with this. And the thinking problem has to do with presuppositions, and presuppositions has to do with my worldview. My worldview is biblical. I have no room for that kind of hate speech in my worldview or that hateful kind of thinking. But in the worldview that is antithetical to a biblical worldview, it's real easy to hold that kind of thinking.
Yeah.
Now, from the completely violent to the completely peaceful is a very wide range, and there are people in all across that spectrum of every stripe and ilk that you can imagine.
Yeah.
The only answer, I'll say again, the only answer for the condition of America is to heal the cause, and the cause is sin, and the only solution to sin is Jesus.
That's it.
There is no other solution to sin.
Because we have seen through the years that when a person takes and turns their life over to Jesus, if they have a mental illness, I've heard of this. You know, if they have
I know where you're going.
Yeah,
I've seen
a mental illness that the Lord would heal that mental illness.
Well, maybe not completely, but certainly bring it into control.
Bring it into control, like alcohol or anything else. I've had friends of mine that I go to church with, and they said, you know, I tried all these different programs, but when I decided to turn my life over to Jesus, he took care of the issue.
Well, I can share a partial. I won't tell you who.
Sure.
But I know someone who was drinking probably a quarter liquor a day.
Yeah.
And using a couple of $100 worth of cocaine a day.
Oh, wow.
In addition to other little things along the way, got desperate, went to a program, and then left the program in frustration because they were requiring things that they didn't want to do, was in a phone booth talking to family member, and gave up and accepted Christ on the spot.
Wow.
And have what I call a super person experience. It's almost like spun around and came out a new person. Had no more craving, had no more desire for drugs, no more desire for alcohol, no more of the physiological and psychological results that come from that. A new creature instantaneously standing in a phone booth in Southern California.
Wow.
God is a miracle working God.
Wow. Yes, he is.
And you know, I know that person extremely well.
Well, okay, I'll switch from alcohol to smoking, okay? When me and my wife got together, she smoked some. And when we had our first child, Kylie, she had a scare. And that scare was a cancer scare. They found a spot on her lung. We walked out of that hospital that day, and I remember her saying, she said, "Lord," she said, "if you'll let this be nothing, I'll never pick up another one."
And it was nothing, right?
And it was nothing.
She's
never picked up another cigarette. Matter of fact, when she gets around a cigarette, it makes her sick.
Yeah.
She can't stand it. So don't tell me the Lord can't take things away from you.
No, he can.
Because he can do it.
He can transform a life.
Yes.
In a way that we can't imagine. And he doesn't always do it instantly.
Mm-mm.
Sometimes it's a slow, long struggle.
That's it.
I have to decide whether I'm going to commit hard enough mm-hmm. to stay the course.
Mm-hmm.
There was a book written about that in the 1600s, maybe 1700s, called The Crook in the Lot.
Okay.
And the idea is that God providentially designs our lives where we fit in his divine decrees to fulfill his purposes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Romans 8:28 works.
Mm-hmm.
For we know that all things work together for them that love God.
Yes.
And them that are called according to his purposes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the critical part of that.
Critical part.
So in his little book, I think it was Thomas Watson that wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Puritan. And the Puritans get a bad rap they don't deserve, but that's another story.
Sure.
In The Crook in the Lot, he simply says, I have to decide whether I'm going to acquiesce to God's lot in my life mm-hmm. and accept it with grace mm-hmm. and let him work out in me what he's working out in me.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the process of transforming who I am as it serves his purposes.
Yes.
Now, how did he teach us to pray? Thy will
be done.
Mm-hmm. Not my will be done.
Mm-hmm.
Where we got turned around in the 20th century is we've decided that we ought to be able to pray for our will be done, and God's obligated to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say he's not obligated to do anything.
No.
He's obligated to fulfill his purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm obligated, if I want to benefit from his grace, to yield to that with a thy will be done attitude.
Amen.
Lord, I don't understand what you're doing in my life, but I praise you, thy will be done.
Amen.
We pray that every night, thy will be done, along mm-hmm. with a number of other things.
Sure, sure.
But we pray that, I think, with absolute sincerity.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean that I got it right in my head and heart? Not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I'm striving for.
Amen.
I want to be so yielded to God's will. He can do in me anything he wants, anytime he wants, and I can say hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Well, Tim, been good this morning.
Been good
thanks
being
for,
with you, brother.
Thanks for being with us, all right?
My privilege.
And join us again tomorrow morning for The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio.